Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face-to-face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder-to-shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. So today we're going to talk about a really fun subject about harnessing your emotions to strengthen your marriage. There's a way to do it because one of our greatest needs is emotional connection.
Yes.
And we're going to jump into why that is. And then Tori and I have a three-step process that's really going to help you. And all of it starts with let it.
Let it.
Let it. Right?
That's right.
You guys are going to like this. And on that note, Tori found a great song that would go right along with our theme.
Letting it
in terms of your emotions.
We're going to go way back.
All right, here we go.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
That's the Beatles.
Let it be.
That's the Beatles, gang. So I love the Beatles for the fact that they're legends, but I never got into
their music.
No, I just don't like it. It just doesn't sound good to me. But
my mom really liked the Beatles.
Did she? Mm-hmm. I didn't like any 70s music. I didn't like any 60s music, but I like 40s and 50s.
Yeah,
sure.
That's true.
Especially 40s.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
So I like 40s and 50s. I hate 60s and 70s. And 80s is my jam.
Oh, yeah.
The 80s music has changed my life. I got a Monster Ballads CD. Actually, it was a CD collection. So I got the year 1985 as a CD, 86, 87, 88, 89. And I got it for Christmas one year. And man, I just powered through that, especially 89.
Really?
It had some of the greatest 80s hits of all time.
Yeah, I never really loved 80s until some of your 80s songs have grown on me.
Yeah.
But I was just, a little girl in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, those songs elicit a lot of emotions in me, and that's what we're talking about today. Emotional intimacy, it's a physical, mental, and spiritual necessity. Now, what do I say that for? Well, the worst form of torture is solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. People literally go insane when they're not around people. Why? Because God wired us to be around people. He wired you to be emotionally connected to other people. I remember hearing this research project that was done, and they took a monkey and they put him in a cage, and then they blared this loud heavy metal music, and they were monitoring his heart rate, and his heart rate spiked like crazy. Then they turned the music off. They let his heart rate regulate. They brought another monkey in, and they put the monkey right next to him, and then they turned the loud music on again, and they measured his heart rate, and that same monkey, his heart rate was cut in half.
Wow.
Because he had somebody there with him.
Yeah. Wow.
And it just shows you that we need emotional intimacy, okay? It literally helps us to function as adults. There are two parts of the brain, the logical and the emotional. The stuff that we experience in life hits the emotional first. Hmm. So we feel something.
Right.
And it's at that point that we then need to start thinking something. And then as we think something, it can change the way that we feel. So it is a little bit of a circular thing.
Yeah.
This is why Romans 12:2 is important. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which when your body, jumps and you feel that little burst of emotion, mm-hmm. now your mind has to be renewed. Now you need to start thinking truthful thoughts.
Right.
Not the lying thoughts.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't listen to the alarm bells. You listen to the truth. Mm-hmm. And you pay close attention to
and
that.
And often our automatic response is negative, right?
Oh my gosh.
It's to think in a fear, in something we think fearful because it's like Caroline Leaf said, we operate out of all emotions come from two emotions, mm-hmm. love or fear, right? And the ones where we trust God, those are coming from the love of God, right? But then so often though, we operate out of fear. Are we safe? Because our number one human core need is safety. And so there's something inside of us that is always asking that question. Mm. But often it's very subconscious. It's just, we feel it in our bodies. We feel that anxiety. that fear response. Mm-hmm. And instead of pausing and saying, what is actually true here? Am I actually safe or am I in danger? Because sometimes that alarm goes off unnecessarily and you have to tell and speak to yourself, I am safe.
Yeah.
The truth is I am safe.
And in your marriage, you need to be a safe place for your spouse.
Yes.
Your spouse needs to know that they can go to you with all their emotions, whether those emotions at that moment are negative or positive or what you would consider valid or invalid. Look, all emotions are valid.
Right.
You need to be someone who is a safe place for your spouse to come with their emotions.
Yeah, exactly. It's so easy to take things personally and to be defensive and to think that this is personal to me, that you would come to me with this fear, right? Yeah. But really, if we can kind of put ourselves aside and say, wait, I think they're feeling scared right now. I think that there's a fear that's dominating their thinking, and I don't want them to feel scared. I don't want them to their security to be shaken. So I'm going to listen and let you speak without getting defensive and making it about me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, emotion, if you'll remember, we've done some podcasts on emotion. Emotion is an impulse to act. That's what emotion is. It's very important that you understand. It is an impulse to act. Let me give you an example. Anger is an emotion with a purpose, okay? Sadness is an emotion with a purpose. Happiness, joy, they're emotions with a purpose. Like anger is an emotion with a purpose. What's the purpose of anger? Because remember, emotion is an impulse to act. The purpose of anger is to see justice done. Mm-hmm. So the most angry that you'll ever be are times when you feel like something unjust has happened to you. And this is why people go absolutely insane at basketball games yelling at refs.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of the ref was wrong. It's a matter of that was unjust.
Right.
Like you now penalized our team, you know, and that whole sense of justice is going crazy at a basketball game, football so games, whatever, right? But anger is an emotion with a purpose. God never tells us not to be angry. He tells us be angry, but don't sin, which means don't sabotage the emotion. Don't try not to be angry. Like you live your life not in anger. You live your life out of love. But love, sometimes when justice is trampled on, that love should feel like anger.
Right.
And at that moment, you have to make sure that you're operating correctly. So emotion is an impulse to act. Now, emotion draws us together when we're intentional with it, like a fire in the fireplace. Mm. I'm intentional with a fire in the fireplace. Therefore, it can warm my house.
Yeah.
If I'm not intentional with the fire and it gets outside the fireplace, it burns the house down.
Yeah.
It's not the fire's fault.
Right.
It's the fact that you didn't confine it. Our emotions are the exact same way. So what Tori and I want to share with you are three keys on how to use emotion to draw you together instead of pushing you apart. We don't want you to be pushed apart because of the emotion. We want you to draw together. Okay. So going in line with the song that Tori just played, the whole let it mantra, these are three keys. Okay. Let me give you the three keys and we're going to go back through each one. Okay. Key number one, let it out. Don't bottle up your emotions. Key number two, let it go. What you don't let go will grow. Okay. And key number three, let it happen. Create an environment for emotion to flourish. Mm. So let's look at let it out. Okay. Bottling up your emotions. Tori and I were reading this great book, and this one doctor was talking about how he dealt with terminally ill cancer patients. Mm-hmm. That was his specialty. And he said he would always give them a questionnaire when they started treatment, but right when they came in to see him. And one of the questions was, do you have anyone in your life, in your past and in your present, who you've been able to open up with and tell them everything that's going on in your heart, like what's wrong, your secret fears, disappointments, or whatever? And he said this, get this. He said, in 25 years of dealing with terminally ill cancer patients, never once did somebody say yes to that question.
Wow.
That none of those people had anybody that they could open up to. Mm. They were bottling up emotions. Mm. And emotions buried alive, they never die.
Yeah.
But what they do is they rot. Mm. And they rot you from the inside out. And they literally physically destroy you if you don't let them out.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's important that we need to make sure that we pay attention to that.
Yeah. And I think for most of us, you know, some maybe the generation behind us, not so much, but for most of, you know, us really 40 and
40s older, and 50 year olds.
Right. I think that we grew up thinking that emotions held a negative connotation, right?
Don't be so emotional.
Right. And that was kind of like what we heard most of the time is like, Don't be so emotional or, I don't know, just different things that would make you feel like emotions are bad. Emotions are negative. And I think it is so important to know that every emotion has a purpose. God made us emotional beings for a purpose. And it's just recognizing that we can use those for the good of our relationships. Yes, they can obviously spiral out of control quickly. And and that's really what this podcast is about, is what do you do with them? What do you let those emotions do, right?
Yeah. To make sure that you don't end up in coddle culture, like the days when everybody has a therapist. Like, I got to go talk to my therapist. It's like, okay, that's fine. You know, like, we've all needed counsel. We've all needed therapy at times. But the goal is that where you don't have one that you have to lean on, you know, it's like, you're not just a walking emotion. Like, you know how to handle your crap.
Yeah. Like, well, and I think that the reason that therapists are so important and so valuable is because that is a safe place for people to let it out.
Let their emotions go.
Yeah. And so you're not saying you do not to have a therapist, because honestly, a therapist, if you don't have somebody to let it out with, you need a therapist, right? Like, you have to have somebody. Ideally, we have people, and you have a spouse and friends and family where you can let these things out with. But if you don't, you have to have somebody pay for one. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, ideally we want to get into relationships where we can let things out, and we have the time to let people let things out.
Yeah. And I've done this drill or this exercise with a lot of different people. And I learned it from another marriage guy, where if you take your cell phone, like right now, if you took your phone and you held it out, you know, with your arm straight in front of you, you know, your phone at eye level, your arm straight out ahead of you, then you're going to be able to hold that phone. It doesn't feel heavy at all. But now try doing that for 15 straight minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, your arm's going to feel like it falls off. The weight is not determined by what you're holding on to. The weight is determined by the amount of time you hold it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what happens with emotions. Don't hold it in. So what are we supposed to do? Well, let me just tell you, when it comes to letting it out, first, pour your heart out to God. If you don't go to God first, then what you're going to do is you're going to hand all of that weight to your spouse, and it's too heavy for them to carry. Mm. You're going to see your spouse start to shut down because you're taking all of your burdens to your spouse. That's not what the scripture says. It says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will help you. Now, you give it to God first. Okay. After you've poured your heart out to God, then go to your spouse. You go to your spouse. James 5:16 says healing comes through confession to one another. So there is a use case for pouring your heart out to another human being or a group of human beings. Okay. Very close-knit human beings. And so you're going to pour your heart out to God. You're going to pour your heart out to your spouse. Then you're going to create an environment for your spouse to pour their heart out to you. Mm. You're not going to make them feel stupid. It's total safety. Like, I don't care what we're talking about. I don't care if this is the 100th time we've talked about it. Whatever you're feeling right now, I want to pay attention to it. And I want you to pour your heart out. Okay. Have you already gone to God? Yes. Okay, great. Now let's talk. And then the last thing is talk to a friend.
Yeah.
You know, if it's necessary, it's good to have somebody outside of your spouse. Mm-hmm. It's good to have somebody outside of God, outside of your spouse, that you can confide in. Mm-hmm. And what Tori and I would say is that your spouse knows that, okay, hey, I'm going to talk with so-and-so.
Yes.
You know, about this or whatever. It's not, you're not doing some secretive, you're not going to believe what my husband just did. Okay, look, if you're in an unhealthy relationship and you just have to have somebody to talk to and your spouse is going to explode on you, then I get it. You know, get a therapist, get a counselor or somebody where you're going to have to be able to say some things you can't even say to your spouse. So I get that. But when you're in a healthy relationship, you still need somebody that you can bounce some stuff off of to, and that your spouse knows. And it's like, hey, great. Yeah. Talk with her about that.
Yeah, like, exactly. There was this experiment that was done. I thought it was super interesting as it relates to letting it out. So they took four groups of people, and they put them in a room with a spider that was in a cage.
Yeah.
And the spider's in a cage, right? So they're kind of, it's kind of like safe, you know.
Yeah.
The first step was safe, right? So they're all in the room, and then they divide the groups into four groups. In the first group, they say, we want you to label your feelings.
Yeah.
Let it out. Tell us exactly what
is
you
it to
feel.
Feel? Mm-hmm.
So they were able to say whether they were afraid, what they, you know.
Yeah, freaked out.
Anything that they felt, they wanted them to label it.
Yeah.
Tell me exactly what you're feeling.
Okay.
The second group, they said, just make observations. Yeah. All you're allowed to do is just make observations.
But don't say anything.
Yep. not talking about what you're feeling at all, just observations. Yep. The third group was say something irrelevant.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's a nice chair over there. The sky is blue. Uh-huh.
And then the fourth group, don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
No observations, nothing. Just hold everything in.
Yep. And this is kind of right. These are the kind of the different four different ways that we deal with things sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they brought the same groups back in 1 week later, and they have them all hooked up to
these monitors and stuff.
And stuff to see their heart rates and see how their body, their biological, whatever
responses
are. And the first group, okay, so they bring them back into the room and now they have the spider out of the cage.
Yeah. So it's even more of a threat at this point.
They're actually more in danger than they ever were, right?
Yeah.
And the group one, the ones who had expressed their feelings were able
labeled their emotion.
Labeled their emotion, were able to handle it much better than any of the other groups.
Even better than they did when they first saw the spider in the cage. Mm-hmm. And even some of these people in this test group went up and touched the spider. The same people who freaked out about it at the beginning.
Wow.
Because they simply let out their emotions and they labeled them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm feeling very, angry. I'm feeling isolated. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling abandoned right now. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard to label your emotions.
Yeah.
That's why you have to have somebody to talk to.
Sometimes it is work, right? Like, it'd be easier just to ignore and move on in life sometimes, because it's like, I don't have time to deal with this.
This is the guy's problem. He doesn't want to talk it out. He's like, I don't care. I don't know what I don't care. You know, whatever. I'm fine. No, you're not fine. We need to know what's going on. What do you feel right now? I don't know. Abandoned, kind of, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? And so that it's very important. So that's point number one, is to let it out. Point number two, once you've let it out, you need to let it go. Hmm. What you don't let go will grow. What do we mean by this? That once you've experienced that emotion, you maybe you labeled it, maybe you're talking with your spouse through it or whatever. After that, it's time to let it go.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't just now live in the past. Like, oh yeah, yeah, I've got trauma. I've got trauma from the past, and therefore, you know, that's why I act the way I act today. Well, no, grow. Like, you've already let it out. Now let it go. Mm. What do we mean by this? You know, the number one thing when it comes to letting it go is, honestly, it's the power of forgiveness. Because we live in a fallen world and around people who may screw us over, you know, for lack of better terms. There's two aspects of forgiveness. You want to grant forgiveness and you want to receive forgiveness. The first, in granting forgiveness, when somebody wrongs you and then they come back and they repent, like they're truly sorry, what you need to do is grant forgiveness.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to grant it. Why? Because they deserve it? No, but because you have been forgiven. Mm. Okay. So since you have been forgiven, you are required to grant forgiveness. I mean, even the Lord's Prayer is a sabotaging prayer. It says, forgive me of my debts as we forgive our debtors, which means if I'm not forgiving, then I don't want you to forgive me. Like, that's a sabotaging prayer. Like, so first is we need to grant forgiveness. So when somebody wrongs you and then they repent, grant them forgiveness. Well, what do you do when someone wrongs you and they don't repent? We've done a whole podcast on this. Forgiveness redefined. Go back and look at this and in our podcast, or you can read our book. We got an appendix in there that talks about this. But when someone wrongs you and they don't repent, don't grant them forgiveness. Mm. Because that's not forgiving as God forgives. God does not forgive an unrepentant person. He only forgives the repentant person. So we have to forgive as God forgives. We do not grant forgiveness to someone who doesn't repent. Well, then how do we make sure that we don't sin with a spirit of unforgiveness? We stay in a position of readiness to forgive. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we give the situation to God. Mm. That's what Jesus did when he was on the cross. He could have forgiven all those people that were hammering the nails into his flesh and the religious leaders that turned him over to be crucified. He could have forgiven them in the same way that he forgave the paralytic when he said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus could have done that on the cross, but he didn't. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, which basically means if we were in that situation, it's saying, God, I pray that you would bring this person or these people to forgiveness, to that they would understand what they did to wrong me. In the meantime, I'm going to hand you the situation and I'm going to stay ready to forgive them when they repent.
Wow.
But I can't grant them something that they didn't ask for.
Yeah.
So therefore I'm going to give the situation to you and I'm going to remain free. Mm. That's what we do. So that's the first part, is we grant forgiveness. And number two, we receive forgiveness. Don't carry the burden of guilt any longer. Have you really done something stupid and you've actually asked for forgiveness? For the spouse that needs to forgive, grant forgiveness. For the spouse that screwed up, receive their forgiveness in the same way that you received God's forgiveness. So it's so important that you understand this. Even on the Day of Atonement, when it came time for them, for the Jews to bring their sacrifice to the priest, they would bring two goats. Mm. So first was the goat of sacrifice, or a sheep, you know, male sheep. They would kill the goat, and that was the sacrificial lamb. And that's the one that would die for the sins, right? This was back in Old Testament times. But then they had another one called the scapegoat. And it was a goat where they would then, after they killed the first goat as the sacrifice, they would then pronounce all the sins of Israel on the head of the scapegoat. And then they would slap its butt and release it off into the woods. So they took the guilt, because the guilt doesn't really ever go away, right? Because the sins are still there, but they've been covered. Jesus has covered it. But we can easily walk around with the guilt of all that sin if we don't release it.
Wow.
That's why they had to release the goat. Mm. And this was in Leviticus 16. David and I have a whole, if you got our Benham Brothers app, you need to download it. Go to Leviticus 16 and listen to the passage on releasing the goat. If you're struggling with guilt from something you've done in the past and you have repented of it to whoever you hurt and to God, then you need to release that goat. Mm. You need to receive that forgiveness. So when it comes to letting go of emotions, working through the process of forgiveness is the most important thing.
Yeah, that's so good. As we were talking about, you know, just letting all these let it's, right?
Yeah.
On our walk yesterday, and I started just thinking about just one, just all the times in the Bible that you see let it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, from the very jump in Genesis, God shows the power of let it. Like he says, let there be light, right? And there is light. And he creates the whole world with that, with starting with let it, right?
Yeah, and he even creates the animals, and he's like, let them reproduce after their kinds. It's like, just let it happen. It's gonna happen. Like he created a sexual desire inside of the male animal for the female animal. Right. Now just let that happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And I thought it was so cool. I was looking back in scripture and in the New Living Translation, every time God says, let there be light, let there be space between the waters, it says, and that is what happened. Mm. You know, God said, let it, and that is what happened. And, you know, we're created in God's image. He made us to be creators as well, that there is something inside of us that we can surrender to whatever it is that God's will is for our lives. When we surrender to it, it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
So like, good.
We have this power. We have this agency within us. God is literally inside of us to let things happen. And so often we try to control, right? We're just, we want to be in control. When we resist so heavy because we're like, this is what I wanted to do. This is how I wanted it done. And this is the way it's supposed to be done. And we just hold on to this control instead of just letting it go. So I love the way that the Bible just shows us the power of let it, right? Yeah. Throughout scripture, you will see let it over and over and over and over again. I had wrote down in my journal recently, several times where I saw let it. And it was, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. There's that word. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And God said, let there be light. And we just talked about that. Like all the power that we have within us to let things happen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith and without wavering.
And it's even at Chipotle. I would like beans and lettuce.
I am amazed at how your brain works. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, that one didn't play quite as well as it did in my head, but that is the thought that went into my head.
Sometimes we don't have to let everything out.
Oh, boom. Shots fired, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let me give you the third key. Say, here's the first key. Let it out, okay? Don't bottle up your emotions. Key number two, let it go. What you don't let go will grow. So let it go. Walk through the stages of forgiveness. And number three, let it happen. Okay, what do we mean by that? You need to create an environment for emotion to flourish. Now, we're talking about your marriage right now. So there's lots of different ways to do this, but we're talking about your marriage. If you create an environment to let emotions flourish, then you just need to allow yourself to be drawn to your spouse. Like 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul is telling young protege Timothy, he's like, hey, fan into flame the gift that's in you. Like there is a way to fan into flame the emotions that are in you for your spouse.
Yeah.
Okay. And the best way to do this, and what Tori and I teach in our marriage coaching stuff, is engage as many of the five senses as you can. Okay.
Good.
What are the five senses? Sight, touch, smell, taste, sound. Okay. So sight, well, you know, you don't always have to look your best. Obviously we know we're real life people here. Yeah. You don't always, but you know what? Look as good as you can, you know, just do whatever it takes. You know what your spouse is attracted to, wear that kind of stuff, wear what you know your spouse likes.
Yeah, that's true. It is. It can become very easy to fall into a pattern of just not caring. You know, you're married, it doesn't matter. And there are those lazy days where you just want to be comfortable and
for sure.
But I do think it is important that we always keep into consideration what our spouse likes.
Yeah.
And I think it's good for me to be thinking about that. It makes me feel good about myself when I, you know, wear something that I know that you will like. It makes me feel good about me. It puts me in a mindset of, you know,
she's ready for me. He almost walked into that one.
Yeah.
But you know, I love this because when the high waisted mom pants came out, and I remember telling Tori, she tried one on or whatever, and I don't like it. I don't think it looks good compared to what your regular pants look like. And I don't even know what the cut of those are, but I'm like, I don't. And you know what? She didn't go. And that was so trendy for a while. You know, everybody was wearing these things jacked all the way up to their boobs, you know, I'm like, geez, this looks weird to me. And so Tori didn't do it, you know, and I'm like, you could wear it if you want. I mean, whatever. I'm still attracted to you. But because she knew I didn't like that style.
Yeah.
She didn't go with it. And that was cool. So thank you.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just thinking about you.
So sight, then it's touch. Listen, we talked about this in a few podcasts ago, but touch and talk, when you're touching at the same time you're talking, it gives you synergy. It's not just energy, it's synergy, which is exponential growth.
Mm.
It's exponential power. Okay. And so the whole idea of touch each other a lot, hold hands. If you're walking by each other in the house, just a little touch, doesn't matter what it is, but touch is so important, you know? And so then there's smell. This is one of the greatest in terms of eliciting memories. So if you guys have some good memories together as a couple, you know, get some smells together. Like Tori and I have a couple. Like, you know, I don't know exactly what scent of candle, but I know if you burn like a particular candle, it like reminds me of when our kids were young and we were, you know, doing Christmas stuff and getting stockings ready and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. Smell is incredible, the way that it brings back memories.
Yeah. And you know, and we did this in a podcast too, the whole science that now shows pheromones, that everybody has a specific smell to their body that's different. It's like a fingerprint. And your spouse, when you really love your spouse and you guys are covenanted together, their pheromones will draw you to them.
Yeah.
You know, and yours do to them.
Yeah, that's true. We were watching a movie about the chemist.
Oh, yeah.
What was the name of that? Yeah, it was
it's on Apple TV. Yeah. She's blonde hair. Lessons in chemistry.
And she meets this chemist and he starts to fall in love with her. And she's like, you know,
I don't want this.
I mean, you could tell she's starting to fall for him a little bit, but she's like resistant because she doesn't want it to get in the way of her job. And she's really focused on her job. And so she's like, this isn't going to work. And he says something like, I just don't know if I can work with you in your pheromones.
He's like, I can't work around you. I mean, your pheromones drive me crazy. Only a chemist would say something like that.
Yeah.
But pheromones is a real thing.
And sure enough, they fall in love.
They fall in love. You guys should watch that. It's kind of cute. It has a little bit of an agenda, but I mean, everything on Apple does. But anyway, okay, so that's sight, touch, smell. Then you got taste. Like, I mean, whatever it is, eating food together is so important. It's like the Last Supper with Jesus. There were so many things where dining together is an intimate experience.
Yeah.
I mean, be foodies together. You guys get a few foods that you really love together. Like Tori and I, man, if you want to come hang out with us and you want to go eat some sog paneer, some butter chicken at a local Indian place, we are in, you know? So food, but then sound. And this one is really important because not only is it good for you to light some candles or whatever, but soft music.
Yeah.
like just create the mood for emotion to flourish.
Yeah. And this is something you're so good at. I have to brag on you just for a second. I don't do that too much.
Thanks, Tor.
Jason is so good at creating atmosphere with music, and all of our kids have caught the bug. Like they're
so great.
Yeah. Like this weekend, Trey was home and he jumped in the hot tub, and the hot tub, like right next to where I read my Bible next to our, in our master bedroom on the other side of the wall, like outside. And I could just hear Kenny G, and he was just chilling, just relaxing before his game. And he had, I was just like, oh my goodness. Like these kids have when you kind of like created that appetite in them for it.
It's low lighting and soft music.
We get into the car and there's just like, they have good music playing, and it really does relax everybody. It just sets the tone. Like when you always put on music right before we eat dinner, and depending on depending on what we're eating, it will it'll either be oldies, or it'll be Kenny G, or it will be country, like depending on the time of the year.
Italian cooking music. That's a great Pandora station, Italian cooking music.
But it really does set the atmosphere, and it does something pretty big. I think music is huge, and King David showed us that in scripture, like just the power of music.
Yeah, he's playing the harp, man. That dude was a harpist. Tori used to play the harp. She doesn't anymore. She used to harp about a lot of stuff.
Knew that was coming.
You felt that one. Man, I heard
that one once or twice before. Oh, geez.
But now listen, not only are these keys, the whole let it keys, let it out, let it go, let it happen. Not only are they biblical, but they're also psychological. Tori actually discovered this the other day with just the whole psychology that happens with and the science behind the whole let it philosophy.
Oh, yeah. So it was interesting. I came across on a podcast recently, there's this thing called the let it theory.
Yeah.
And as we were talking about doing this podcast and talking about all the let it's, I was like, there's this theory. And I went back and looked at some of the notes that I had taken when I was listening to it, and went back and found that the title of the podcast is so interesting, is the Let Them Theory, a life changing mindset hack that 15 million people can't stop talking about. That's the title.
It is true.
Million people. I'm like, wow, this. And basically it's called the Let Them Theory. And the basis of it is just letting go and not trying to control everything. And this comes from to a lot of, this, I think it was a leadership podcast, and, leaders tend to want to be in control of everything. And it was just, she has you visualize, she's a psychologist, and with her clients, she has them visualize being out on a boat, and you're swimming against the current, and you're just using so much energy.
At that point, you're outside the boat.
Yeah. You are using so much energy to push against the current, and you're just pushing, 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 and you're not really getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And then finally you say to yourself, let it go.
Yeah.
You let go of the oars and you just drift on with the current, and you are in a state of peace and relaxation, and you are enjoying the ocean, and you're just going with the current, and it's just this huge release
that
you feel in that moment. Right. Yeah. And she says to visualize that and let that happen in these real life situations where you visualize you're letting go and you're like, you know what? I'm trying to control.
Which creates anxiety and stress.
Yeah. And I'm just going to let it. I'll let them, they have an idea. I'm going to let them go with that idea. We were just talking to one of our couples recently this week, and the husband said, typically I'd want to control everything, and we're working on this house project, and typically I have the better ideas. I've been in construction, I know what to do, I know the right steps to take, whatever. And he's like, but she kind of had an idea of what direction she wanted to go, and I was like, I'm just gonna let her. And he said, and it actually worked out really well. And if it doesn't turn out exactly that we want, we'll figure it out later, but I just let it go. And he's like, and we've had a great week together. They're like, this, that the fantastic whole project that they were worried was going to be, tough on them because with the bickering and decision making and everything. He's like,
it's no big deal.
No big deal. We've had a great week together.
Yeah.
Working on these goals. And it's just like that whole, I'm going to let this one go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah. I love that. So now you see there's the biblical foundation for this. There's the psychological, the scientific. And now Tori and I are telling you in our own marriage and in what we've taught other couples, the whole three-step process on how you're going to use emotion to draw you together instead of pushing you apart. Let it out. Don't bottle up your emotions. Let it go. What you don't let go will grow. And then finally, let it happen. Create an environment for emotion to flourish. Mm. And we promise you that you will draw closer to your spouse as a result.
That's right.
That's it.
All right. Quick recipe for you guys. So the last couple of weeks, I have made these sweet potatoes and they just have been hitting the spot.
Oh, and gosh, they're so good.
It's just an easy side dish. And so I'll share it with you guys. I'll make a reel on Jason and Tori. But it's super, super simple and they're just so good. So I hadn't been doing sugar for so long. And so I had these, I think like a year ago. And for some reason, you know, when you can't have something, you think about all the things you can't have. And so I was like, oh,
when we get off
this sugar thing, I'm going to make those sweet potatoes because it does have a little bit of coconut sugar, not much at all, but it's like 2 tablespoons about that of in the huge side dish. So you're really not getting much anyways, but it's all it is diced sweet potatoes in olive oil, a little bit of salt, and then coconut sugar and cinnamon. That's it. You just kind of,
it's really good.
Roast them for about 40, 45 minutes and they are such a great side. They're so good. So I will share that with you guys for your next, if you're having steak or chicken, anything, such a great side dish.
You shared your recipe on, chicken lasagna.
I don't think I did that.
With the one with the spinach in it and all that.
I don't think I did.
Okay. You might have to do that because just before our podcast here, Tori and I had ourselves a little afternoon date
with
the chicken lasagna she pulled out of the freezer that she made like a month ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was epic.
Yeah, it was. You gotta do that again. So I just kind of made it up. So I'll have to kind of figure out exactly how I did it. I don't remember. I should have wrote it down, but it was really good frozen. I had made too much. And so I froze a little bit and I think it was better the second time. It was really good.
Yeah.
But it was chicken and spinach lasagna with rice noodles, like ricotta cheese, mozzarella cheese, lots of, spinach, like the frozen spinach that you steam and then drain all the water out. So you get a lot of very heavy spinach taste, which was so good with like a mozzarella. Well, I think it was a lot of Parmesan cheese and ricotta cheese.
I used to call it Parmesan.
Really?
I don't think that's the case anymore.
That's when you thought that the
you know what, Tor, you know what we need to do? We need to do ourselves a trip to Italy and we open it up for couples to come along with us. If you would be interested in that, hit us up.
Jason,
I want to do that. That would be so
fun. Jason's trying to get me to Italy for the last 2 years.
Yeah. But let's just invite all of our pals, all of our podcast
that
listeners.
That would be fun.
It'd be a great time. Okay.
Some cooking
glasses.
That would be fun.
While you're there. Yeah. I'd love it. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for hanging out with us. It's always a privilege for Tori and I to look stuff up and try to figure stuff out to help our own relationship and then share it with you because then it helps us.
That's exactly right.
So we're doing this podcast not for you, but for ourselves. How about that?
It's helping.
And it's working. All right. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Peace.